Good morning. If you had your Bibles open to Luke chapter 17 for the reading this morning, you may want to keep them open there or reopen them there, as we're going to be looking at that passage primarily as we go through our lesson this morning. Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11. What a beautiful day to be together with God's people, and certainly is nice to see the sun shining again. And after a week like we've had this week, it's nice to be given assurances yet again that God does keep His promises. As He said in Genesis 9, I will not destroy the earth again with the flood. And we have seen that with the sunshine today, and thankful that we get to see that at least for a few days before we may get a little bit rain again. But glad that you could be here this morning, and especially if you're visiting, I'd like to add my word of welcome to you. We appreciate you being here and are encouraged by your presence with us here this morning. Clay read for us a few moments ago from Luke chapter 17, a story about 10 lepers. And this is a unique story to the Gospel of Luke. It's not found in any of the other Gospels. And really, when we look at this story, it's a very short story, a very short account. But it really does include two stories in one. The first half of the account here really tells us a story of physical healing. It's a very familiar story in the Gospels, very familiar in that it's very formulaic. We've seen this type of story in other places. We have a leper or lepers who, of course, have been cast out of the community as per the law of Moses so that they would not affect the rest of the community. They live in places outside of the camp, outside of the community, so as not to spread the disease. And of course, they are outcast. They feel left out. They oftentimes have no way of caring for themselves, no way of providing for themselves. And so oftentimes, they are left to begging. And so that's what we see is these lepers who are outside of the community, who are prone to begging for money as people come by. But when Jesus comes by, for whatever reason, they know who He is or know of His reputation or know something about Him or have heard of Him, and they beg for mercy from Jesus. And so this first part of the story, it talks about these 10 lepers as they are seeking to be physically healed by Jesus. But the second part of the story is a different story. It regards one of those who was healed, but it is really a story about wholeness and salvation. About wholeness and salvation. And we'll see a difference between those things. But there are really just two main points that I want to bring up from this passage this morning. You'll notice I don't have anything on the screen behind me. I forgot to send my slides to Jay. But really, there were only two slides anyway, because I had two main points, and those two main points were on those slides. So I'm going to preach without a net this morning and try not to mess up too much. But there are two main points we want to get from this passage. And the first one comes from this first section, that really is the story of the physical healing. So I want to go back and read that again, beginning in verse 11 of Luke chapter 17. It says, "Now it happened as Jesus went to Jerusalem that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as He entered a certain village, there met Him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And so when He saw them, He said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed." And so again, these lepers approach, or at least stand afar off. They recognize who Jesus is. They cry out to Him, "Have mercy upon us." And Jesus tells them, "Go show yourselves to the priests," just as would be according to the law of Moses. If one were a leper, and they were outside of the community, the only way they could re-enter into the community was once they were healed of the leprosy, they would go show themselves to the priest, who would then examine them to make sure that they were truly healed from that leprosy, and then eventually they would be allowed to be back into the community. And so this was as per the law of Moses. Jesus tells them to go show themselves to the priest. Now it's interesting, at this point they weren't healed, but they were told to go show themselves to the priest. But notice what the 10 lepers did. They all went to go show themselves to the priest, just as Jesus had told them. And it tells us that along the way there, they were healed. And so why was it that they were healed? Did Jesus lay His hands on them? Did He do some miraculous show, some crazy thing? And you could look at Him and go, "Oh, I'm healed now. I can go show myself to the priest." No, of course not. Jesus simply said, "Go to the priest, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were healed. And so the first point I want us to make, this morning is that there is no healing without obedience. There is no healing without obedience. These men were healed because they obeyed Jesus and they went to show themselves to the priest, and on the way to show themselves to the priest, they were healed. There is no healing without obedience. It is human nature for us to desire benefit without having to put in the work or the effort. We want healing, whatever that means to us, some improvement in our condition, to get rid of difficulties, whatever it is, we want those things without having to put in the work or the effort to achieve those things, without having to actually change what I'm doing. We want to be healed, but I don't want to change anything. I want to stay just the way I am, but I want to be in a better condition. That's natural human nature. And we see this kind of thing throughout the Scriptures even. This story harkens back to a story in 2 Kings chapter 5 with Naaman. Remember, Naaman was a Syrian who came down to Israel because his servant had told him, there's a great prophet in Israel, a prophet of the Lord, who could heal you of your leprosy, who could take care of the problem that you have. And so Naaman hears of this and goes, all right, I'll go see him. And he goes down to where Elijah is staying in his tent. And Elijah sends out his servant who tells Naaman to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times and you'll be healed. And Naaman goes, what? I walked all this distance to see this great prophet of the Lord, and you tell me to go dip in this nasty river over here? We have far, far more beautiful rivers in Syria, and that was true. They were known for the beauty of their rivers. The clean, fresh rivers. The water had flowed just right out of the mountains in Syria, and so it was very clean water. The Jordan River was not a particularly clean river. And Naaman says, you've called me down here. You don't even come out of your tent, and you tell me to go dip in this river 7 times when I have beautiful rivers in Syria to dip in? I thought for sure that you were going to come out and wave your hands over me and make some big religious show and heal me. Go dip in a river 7 times. How ridiculous. And his servant said to him, what if he had asked you to do something really complicated? Would you have done it? Well, yeah, of course. And so when Naaman goes and finally dips in the river 7 times, he's healed. When he obeys what Elisha had told him to do through his servant, he's healed. We see that same effect again in the disciples. The disciples wanted the glory that Jesus was going to bring. They understood what it meant that He was the Messiah. At least they understood the implications of that. Or at least they thought they did. That Israel was going to be restored to greatness again through the Messiah, that He would cast off these bonds that we suffer under right now, and we would be glorified yet again. God's people would be in the appropriate, glorious position that they deserve, and we as His closest disciples, guess what? We're going to be right there on His left and His right hand. But what they didn't see was that before the glory had to come the suffering. When Jesus said to them, as it has been written, the Son of Man must go and suffer and die and be raised on the third day. And what did Peter say when Jesus told him that? No, that's not going to happen to you. They thought the path was directly to glory. They didn't realize that the path had to go through suffering first before they could get to glory. And that's human nature. That's the way we are. We understand, oh, there's something better on the other side. Can't we just go straight there? Can't we just get there the quickest and fastest way? There is no healing without obedience. And we all need healing. We all need healing. We are all wounded. We are all broken because of our sin. If you want to keep your finger in Luke chapter 17 and turn with me to Psalm 38. Psalm 38 is a psalm of David And this is a psalm that David had written when he was being chastened by the Lord because of his sin. In Psalm 38, beginning in verse 1, David says, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. For your arrows pierce me deeply, and your hand presses me down. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. David here in this language helps us to understand what our sin does to us. There's no soundness in the flesh. Your hand is like a heavy weight on me that's too heavy to bear. My wounds are festering. We are all wounded and broken because of our sin. And there is no healing without obedience. And this works in every realm and in every area that we may desire healing. Individually, if we desire healing individually, we begin with ourselves. There's something in my life that I need healing from. I recognize my woundedness. I recognize my brokenness. I want to have a better life. I want to do something different. I want something to be different in my life. The only way that's going to happen is when we change. The only way that's going to happen is when we begin to obey, when we give up self and we live for God's will. It doesn't work if we say, all right, I want healing, but I want to continue to live the life I want to live. I want to continue to live exactly the way I am. I want to continue to get the things I desire, but I also want the healing that God is going to offer to me. It doesn't work that way. And so we oftentimes miss out on God's healing because we don't want to give that up. We oftentimes recognize that our marriages need healing. Our marriages are broken and we need healing. We desire healing from God, but don't ask me to change. Don't ask me to change. Husbands, if you're neglecting the emotional needs of your wife, your marriage needs healing. And if you're neglecting her emotional needs, then you need to obey God and love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. Wives, if you're nagging your husbands about every little thing that you don't see them do that is perfectly right, then you need to obey God and respect your husband, as Paul tells us in Ephesians 5. Husbands, if you treat your wives in a condescending, belittling, and harsh way, then you need to obey God and dwell with your wives with understanding. And honor her. Give her honor as the more precious vessel. Wives, if you want to be in charge, if you want to run the household, your marriage is going to be broken and wounded. And you need to obey God and submit to the head of your household. We desire healing in our marriages, but she needs to change, not me. But we can't have that healing without obedience. In our families, we desire healing. Fathers, if you're harsh and neglectful of your children, you need to obey God. Do not provoke your children to wrath, or do not discourage them. Mothers, if you're indulging your children in everything and giving them everything they need, then you need to obey God and discipline your children. Hold them accountable for their actions. There is no healing without obedience. And this applies even to a larger scale to our community, to our nation. Our nation cries out in need for healing. We need healing from the violence that is plaguing our nation. We need healing from the hatred and the anger that is plaguing our nation. And yet, without obedience, that healing will not happen. In chapter 1 of the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah prophesying again to the nation, not to an individual here, prophesying to the nation, says, beginning in verse 4, "Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, nor bound up, nor soothed with ointment." So again, we see this language of festering wounds is being applied to the nation of Israel. Why? Because they have turned back. They have turned their backs on God. They have turned away from God. They're not obeying God. And that's exactly what our nation has done, isn't it? We have thrown God out of our nation. We've decided we know better. We don't need to listen to what God has said. We know better. We're smarter. We have this figured out. And one of the ways our nation has been damaged, and one of the ways that is most evident, is the rampant sexual immorality in our country and the effects that that has had on the family over the last 40 or 50 years. The effects are devastating. Statistics show that over 50% of children are now brought up in single-parent homes. And when we look at the statistics of what single-parent homes do to children, it's incredible. And yet people still say, "Oh, well, it's no big deal. Let adults do what they want to do. There's no reason for family. There's no reason for marriage. If two adults want to do whatever they want to do together and consent, then that's okay. But look what it's doing to our children. Across the board, there are lower education levels, lower educational achievement for those who are brought up in single-parent homes. There's higher criminality. They are 2 to 3 times as more likely to be incarcerated as those who are brought up in two-parent homes. They are 5 times as likely to live in poverty. And they are 6 times as likely, girls are 6 times as likely to become pregnant as teens if they're brought up in a single-parent home. Those are the outcomes of what our society has decided is acceptable as far as human sexuality is concerned. We've taken it and removed it completely from the context of marriage, the only context in which God has given His blessing. And look how it's affected our nation. And we see it in the violence, in the anger, and the hatred that is all around us. There is no healing without obedience. Later on in chapter 1 of the book of Isaiah, beginning in verse 18, God says to the nation of Israel through the prophet Isaiah, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good land. You shall be healed. You shall get everything you need if you are willing and obedient. Your sin is ugly. But if you're willing and obedient, I will turn that ugliness into beauty and wash it away." And so the first thing I want us to see from Luke chapter 17 is that there is no healing without obedience. The second half of this account is related to the first, obviously, but a different story at some level. Beginning in verse 15, "And one of them, one of those 10 lepers that was healed, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, "Arise and go your way, for your faith has made you well." Now, wait a minute. There were 10 that were healed, right? And he's telling this one specifically, "Your faith has made you well." There were 10 who went away with this leprosy, and there were 10 who were healed. And there's only one that Jesus has said, "Your faith has made you well." So what's the difference? They were healed, right? But only one was made well. When we go back to look at that word that's translated as "made you well," it's not the typical word you would use in relation to healing. The Greek word there is the Greek word sozo, which is the word that means to save. It's the same word that would be used in Ephesians 2 that says you are saved by grace through faith. So Jesus was talking about something much different here than simply the physical removal of leprosy. This man experienced something much deeper and much more profound than simply being cured of his leprosy. He was made well in entirety. He was made well beyond simply the physical. And so what was different about this one man? Well, there were two things. All of them obeyed, right? All of them went to go show themselves to the priests, and all of them were healed. But this one was told he was made well. All of them obeyed, but only one returned. All of them obeyed, but only one fell down at Jesus' feet. All of them obeyed, but only one gave thanks. And so the first thing that was different about him is that he gave thanks. He recognized the source of his healing. I don't know if y'all have seen this series of DVDs called The Planet Earth. We've watched that several times as a family. Our kids love it. In fact, we pulled it out again. Garrett was home by himself last night with just the two of us, and that was on his bucket list of things to do while he's got his brothers out of the house. Let's watch part of the Planet Earth series. And so we pulled out the first DVD, which is kind of an overview, and they opened the whole thing with the statement that planet Earth is the lucky planet. The lucky planet, because planet Earth is the only one with the life that we see. And I thought, what a sad, sad thing to say. Planet Earth is, we're just lucky. Out of all these billions of planets and things surrounding stars out in the universe, we just got lucky. Just got lucky to be just the right distance from the sun, tilted at the right angle so that the seasons happen, so that all these things occur that stir up life and all these amazing things that we see on this earth. Planet Earth was just lucky. I thought, that is just sad that they have no idea who to thank. No idea who to give credit to for the fact that it is amazing. It's not luck, it's amazing. All of the things that had to come together to sustain life on this planet, and all they can say about it is, "Oh, we're lucky." I had a friend several years ago posting on Facebook, and they were facing some difficulty. I don't even remember the context completely. I don't remember if it was surgery for them, or it was something related, health-related surgery for a friend or a family member, or maybe surgery for their dog. I don't remember what it was, but I remember they got on Facebook saying, "This is coming up," and they said, I asked you to send good thoughts out to the universe." What does that mean? Send good thoughts out to the universe. What can a created thing do for anybody? They didn't have a sense enough to know that there is a God to whom we can pray. There is a God who deeply cares for us and loves us. So the best we can do is just send good thoughts out to the universe. We don't know what happened with the other 9. But what we do know is the one, who, by the way, was a Samaritan. And that's a whole different lesson we can talk about. But this Samaritan knew who to thank. And he came back to Jesus and threw himself at his feet and gave thanks for the healing he'd received. And the second thing that was different about this man, or this leper, was that he glorified God. He glorified God. And one of them, verse 15 says, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. How many times do we, with a loud voice, glorify God? I got to say, I don't do it enough. With a loud voice, he glorified God. What is the purpose of us being called out? In 1 Peter chapter 2, a passage I just love, talks about the idea that we come to Christ as a living stone, and we are added then into the building as a living stone. Precious and holy. We're being built up a spiritual house. And Christ is that cornerstone. He is a living stone. He's alive because He was raised from the dead. He's not a dead stone. He's not a piece of granite. He is alive and the cornerstone of that building. And we are added to that building as living stones. And for what reason? Jumping down to verse 9, he says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light." This leper understood that, even though he had never seen this passage. This was written 60 years after he, or 30 or 40 years after he died. But he understood that his purpose at that point was to go back and glorify God. God has healed me. God has made me whole again. Can you imagine having to live outside the community and not have any contact with your family, the people you love, and can't have physical contact with anyone? How empty you would feel. And to be healed and to just walk on as if, oh, that's nice. No, this man came back to Jesus and threw himself at His feet and said, "Glory to God. Thank You for what You've done for me." There is no wholeness without gratitude. There is no healing without obedience, and there is no wholeness without gratitude. When we experience that healing, when we understand what it is that we have come from and where it is we have gone to, our natural response should be to glorify God. We are to proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness. Remember the description in Isaiah of their sin? The festering wounds. Remember David's description in Psalm 38? The weight, the no soundness in the flesh. There are other places where David talks about his bones being broken. It wasn't physical breaking of bones, but the sin, the weight of that sin was like his bones were broken. God has pulled us out of that and given us that body that is whole and sound again. When we look at the miracles of Jesus and we see those people with those broken bodies, bodies that have been broken for years, muscles that have completely atrophied because they haven't been used in years. When we see them at the moment Jesus heals them, and they stand up and jump around, they weren't simply healed, they were made whole again. Because if I had something wrong with me like that, that my muscles had atrophied like that, and the doctor was able to put that back together again, it would take months or years of physical therapy to be able to maybe walk again. Maybe. But when Jesus healed them, they immediately would stand up and leap and run around. Because they weren't simply healed, they were made whole. And so the two lessons I want us to get today from Luke chapter 17 is that there is no healing without obedience. It can't be my way It can't be, I want the end, but I'm going to have to do it my way. The only way there's healing is when I say, it's God's way. And I give myself over to His way. There is no healing without obedience. And secondly, there is no soundness or wholeness without gratitude and thanksgiving. When we know who to thank, when we know who to give the glory to, when we recognize it is God who has done this, then we can be made whole and sound. If you're not a Christian, you need to be one. If you're not a Christian, you've not been healed of those wounds that we all have. And you've not been made whole in Christ. If you're not sure what you need to do to become a Christian, come talk to us. We'll sit down with our Bibles open and study those things. But if you know, and the time is right, then why not take this opportunity that stands before you now? Or if you are a Christian and you've got some wound that you need healing from, that you need our prayers or our help that we can help you with, avail yourself of this opportunity. Why not come forward as we stand to sing our hymn of invitation and encouragement?